Blog Talk Radio.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
Good afternoon and welcome to Engage for Success Radio, show number 41. I can't believe how quickly shows come round. It seemed like only yesterday that we were talking to Dave Ulrich on show 40, but here we are, Monday afternoon, show 41. So I'm Jo Dodds, your host for today. I'm a social media HR consultant working with the Engage for Success movement, leading on digital and social media. And the Engage for Success movement is an inclusive movement committed to the idea that there's a better way to work by releasing more of the capability and potential of people at work. We spread the word about employee engagement and we shine a light on good practice. We're widely supported across the UK, involving the public, private and third sectors. And if you go to our website, which is engageforsuccess.org, and use the orange button in the top right, you can join in and get our regular newsletters. If you tweet, then please share your thoughts using our hashtag, which is #E4S, and that's with the number 4, so E4S, to join the conversation. And please come and join us in our LinkedIn groups to continue the discussion as well. All our social media links are on our homepage on the website on the right sidebar under Connect with Us. So today, show 41, I'm interviewing someone who actually attended a recent LinkedIn webinar that I was doing for a company who I do associate work for, and he's looking to work with them now too. And we connected on LinkedIn, at which point I realized there was a story here that links to the employee engagement agenda, and here we are. So thanks to the power of LinkedIn, welcome to Jim Alexander, the performer coach, who will be talking to us about a project he did with Strada, the restaurant company, where he worked with 12 employees to create, perform, and record a hit single. So, welcome, Jim.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me.
Great to have you on the show, and great to show the power of social networking.
Well, no, exactly. It happened very, very quickly, and we could do, sort of find out what each other did very, very quickly as well. So it was a very, very useful tool, as we know, to introduce me to you and you to me.
That's right, and get you involved in the Engage for Success movement. So tell us a bit more then about who you are and your background and what you do. And it's quite an interesting story, and don't be modest.
I'll
just tell them if you don't.
Okay. I've been an actor for 16 years and a peak performance coach for 8 years. And I got into coaching just because I made a few career suicidal decisions, and I had a bit of bad luck and had a few setbacks which really affected my confidence and my self-belief, and so I sort of found coaching through coaching and being coached to regain my confidence and self-belief, and it had such a dramatic effect on me that I was able to, through my coaching, I was able to win quite a bit of work, which enabled me to earn quite a bit of money. So I invested some of that money into learning what all this coaching stuff was all about, and so I became a sort of qualified coach and learned various different kind of courses and got many, many different qualifications. And I'm still doing the acting, but I still do training and coaching as well to run alongside it, because it's very, very difficult now to be an actor unless you are in that sort of 1% that gets all the work or gets all the opportunities that go your way. So I sort of use my coaching to run alongside the acting, so to speak.
And go on, name drop some of the couple of things you've been in. Go on.
What, the acting? Well, I've been in a few big TV dramas. I was in London's Burning. I was in Dream Team. I was in The Bill as regular characters. And I've done quite a lot of filming and on film and TV and commercials all around the world. And I've trod the boards with some very famous people indeed. it's been good, but it's quite a difficult career sometimes when things aren't going well. But when things are going well, it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. And tell us a bit more about the title, the performer coach.
I was going to start out just purely going down the road of just working with performers, and indeed I have worked with some celebrities and performers as a coach. But as we all know, things sort of go in different directions, and I started working with corporations and companies and doing sort of life coaching for kids and all that kind of stuff. But essentially that was my brand when I first started out, just as a coach to people that needed to perform. Essentially, that's where it all started from when I was, 8 years ago when I started out, that's when I created the domain name and everything around it, really.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell us about this project then. So you were working with Strada. How did it come about? What do they want to achieve? And, you know, sort of just give us a little intro into what we're going to be talking about today.
Well, essentially, I was looking for a way of basically getting involved in the corporate world. I'm very interested in that world, and I wanted a tool or a process that could enable me to work using my history, my background, an incredible process that would really help people engage in a company vision. And so I sort of did quite a bit of research around what people were currently doing with regards to their mission statements and their visions and their goals and all of that kind of stuff. And what I worked out was that a lot of companies would put a lot of time and money into understanding what it is that they wanted to achieve and what their mission statement was, et cetera, et cetera. But these mission statements were either just put in a sort of drawer of a desk, forgotten about, or put on a wall where people just walk past them and don't engage with them. And so I was having a chat with a friend of mine about what I could possibly do, and he just sort of said, well, you know, the most credible way of doing it is using your background. And I thought, what have I got and what have I done that could engage people in you know, a mission statement? And then I realized that I'd been a songwriter for a company called Xenomania, and I was a solo artist, and I'd signed a record deal, and I was writing music for 6 years, working with sort of Girls Aloud and Kylie and the Sugar Babes, but I was producing my own stuff. And so essentially I knew how to write music and how to write, you know, or how to construct a hit record. And essentially I did that with a song that I wrote back in 2000 and whatever it was, and I got it signed. And so one day I was driving in my car and I created, well, why don't we do this with a company? Why don't we engage people in the company's views or missions and you know, their goals through music? And you get a leadership team, I mean, it can work in various different ways, but you get a leadership team to express exactly what their story is and what they want their story to be in terms of their mission or their ambition to a group of their employees, and then they go away and they write a hit record which all comes from this story that the company wants to tell. And so we did that. I was able to do it as a case study with Strada, and it worked to great success. Music is the biggest anchor of them all, and people will engage in it if you make people aware of the process around the company. And that's essentially how it all kicked off.
Excellent. So, Strada, what were their initial objectives? What did they want to get from the project?
Well, essentially what we did at first was that they wanted to engage their workforce with customer service excellence. That's what was really important to them. They and I went in and worked with the sort of senior management team around, you know, what this goal was, and it was very important for us and them to put it into a language that compelled them to do it. And so we spent, I think it was about a whole day, on just finding out what that nugget was, you know, what the core of the message needs to be, and putting it into that language. And we all came to an agreement that what the sort of phrase needed to be was that they wanted to create an environment that, where people wanted to make people happy. And that was the thing that sort of, that was the story that needed to be told throughout the whole group, essentially. And then that's what they wanted to achieve. They just wanted to create an atmosphere where people want to make people happy. And so we went about doing that, really, and using song and engaging people in that process by making them aware of what the process was all about. And so we, through all the social media and YouTube and things like that, every single restaurant was aware that any of their workforce could go into a top London studio and write with, you know, very experienced songwriters and musicians. And so people started to become very, very interested in this, and so they would upload YouTube auditions of them singing or telling a story or telling a joke or being on a piano or playing their guitar or whatever it was, And I think at the end of it, we had over 80 auditions that we had to sort of sift through and find 12 people that would be a good group and also were attached to all the various different regions within the whole Strada group, because obviously they've got a north region, they've got a southern region, west, et cetera, and all the six senior management are assigned to particular areas of the country. And so we wanted to get a general spread so that the message was spread across the whole of the country and the whole of the group, really.
Mm-hmm. And at that stage, did the people who auditioned and uploaded their videos, did they know about the mission and sort of what the end result was intended to be, or was it just that they knew this exciting project was happening and they wanted to get involved because it was musical?
That's all they knew. They didn't know anything about the vision at all. That was going to be expressed on the day of the recording and the writing of the song. So we just gave them the chance to come into. They knew that they were going to write a song about the company's visions. That was it. But they didn't know exactly what that vision was or what that goal was until it was expressed at their annual meeting. You know, the conference that they give each year. That's when the whole awareness of the project was understood about what the goal was and why it's so important to create this environment. But obviously, the people that were involved in the process understood on the day of the writing.
Okay. So this was very much, if we talk in terms of Engage for Success and our four enablers, this was very much a song around the strategic narrative of the organisation. So as you said, this is the story that they wanted to be, you know, known within the organisation. So what then happened as far as launching it on the day? So you chose your 12 employees, you'd had the leadership team looking at that mission. How did you bring the two together? What kicked off the actual process next, that creating process?
The next step was me to go back in and work with the leadership team to work with them. A lot of this is about expression, and it's about engaging with the expression. So if you can get the leadership team to engage with the expression of the goal and what attributes people need in order to create that environment, the second step was to work with the management team or the leadership team in actually coming up with an area each for them to pitch to the 12 employees around the attributes needed to create this environment where people want to make people happy. And they came up with six different attributes, and each of the managers or leadership team would express on the day the first thing that they would do is to engage everyone in this goal or this mission, and each of the team would then get a minute to pitch around their subject of excitement or energy or knowledge. I can't remember the other three at the moment, they escape me. Each of the leadership team would engage in the importance of creating this environment and using the six attributes in order to do it. So that's how we started off the storytelling process on the day. And essentially that's what happened right at the beginning of the day. And then obviously once the 12 delegates understood the importance of this goal and why it was so important to the leadership team and the company as a whole, they would then take this information and create a story that wouldn't necessarily have to be anything about Strada, but a story that would run alongside this goal and all of the attributes needed to create this goal. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so I suppose my next question, which sort of I think you started to answer with that, is how you reconciled the work that the leadership team did with the concept of employee voice. So this sort of project described at the beginning, as you've described it, could be seen to be quite top-down, but actually this is the point where you were pushing it to the employee sort of bottom-up employee voice side of things. So how did that work as far as them taking the baton, if you like, and running with it once they'd had those pitches?
Well, essentially, we asked them to create the story which would run in line with the goal. And they went away and they created this story. And then as a team, we chose the best story to tell. And once we had done that, we then needed to bring in all of the music aspect. And essentially, it was writing a story about that goal, which all of the employees had to do. And it was just a process of you know, working at very, very high speed to create this story, and then obviously the lyric and the melody would come, and the actual music would come directly from the story, which was aligned to the specific goal. Because if you're going to write a music, you know, a hit record about Strada's need for a customer service to be excellent, it's not going to, you know, it's not going to be brilliant. And the most important thing about the day was that in the 10 hours that we were able to create a song that, you know, which had a little bit of worth, and actually, out, you know, to create what we created in 10 hours was pretty spectacular. Because if anyone knows anything about writing music and creating, you know, a recorded song, it's not that easy to do in 10 hours in a day. It's not at all. Essentially, that is what we did. But it was all about the story, and essentially it was getting the message then through the song. And once, because what happened was that after we did it in, when did we do it? I think it was November time, and throughout the 6 weeks leading up to Christmas, they put this song on the playlist, and then they made everyone aware that worked within Strada what it was all about. And so, you know, in very simple terms, every one of the workforce became aware of certain people that were going into a studio to write a song about a vision. They understood what the vision was, and then once they made the connection with the song, they would know what it all meant, because, as I said before, that music is the biggest anchor of them all, and it will, you know, it will produce specific associations of meanings. That's the whole sort of psychological process behind it all.
Yeah, so explain anchor in a bit more detail for those people who don't understand that term.
We all have anchors in our lives, but you can create specific states and associations to certain things, be them, you know, visual. You know, if you think of your best friend's face, I imagine normally that would create a specific state of mind, especially if it's your best friend. You probably have associated some lovely feelings about your best friend if you were to imagine their face. And in the same way, you can use music, because music is an anchor. You know, there'll be plenty of experiences where you will hear a song on the radio and it will create an emotion in you, or a feeling, or an associated state. So you can use that to your advantage when looking at engagement. And the whole thing about writing a record and, you know, building it up in terms of show business and all that kind of stuff is that employees are going to be interested in it, because it is, you know, it's like the X Factor. People are interested in the X Factor. They're interested in what people can create, and that was, you know, that was my whole idea behind it. It was just, music is probably the one thing where people will get interested in it, rather than, you know, let's just talk about what our mission is and try and convey it through other means. I know that music can really engage people in stuff.
Okay, so they went away, came up with a story, and you started to do the sort of creating of the record, the composing, I guess, part of the process. How did that then run? So were these people who were coming up with melodies and things, or were they just giving you ideas and you were playing things to them, and there was a discussion in that way? What was the sort of process at that stage?
Well, essentially, once we'd written the story, we then brought in our musician, Owen Parker, who is... he's just a complete genius, and just started to work with Robbie, and he also used to be my best man.
Oh, you're such a name dropper.
I know. We couldn't do it without him. I've been in a band with Owen for years and years and years, and there's a few people that I could work with this pace, because he's so good. So essentially what we did was that the 12 delegates would explain the story in terms that, well, they would just tell Owen the story, and then we would look at it on how that would sound in terms of a hit record. So what kind of influences did they want? What kind of sounds did they want? What kind of grooves did they want? And we'd start to build a backing track around all of the expression that the 12 people were giving Owen, and he was just literally using their words and putting it into some kind of musical backing track. And I think after about 45 minutes, we had the very start of a backing track, or a chord progression, you know, a verse, bridge, and chorus that he could then take away and build into a song. And then we'd sit around a piano, and then we would design all of the 12 delegates. We would play the chord progression over and over and over, and the 12 delegates, this is where it gets really interesting, is because you're taking people right out of their comfort zones, but they were having to come up with just subconscious, unconscious melody lines just using a dictaphone. So we'd just keep repeating the chord progression, and then we would just go up to them with a dictaphone and just basically say, sing anything, doesn't matter, because we will get something out of your performance. So they had to get themselves into a really performance-based state in order just to sort of trust it and have a go at creating this melody. And then we would sort of compile all of these melodies together to create the song's melody. And then once we had the melody nailed down, we would get them to go away whilst Owen was putting all the finishing touches to the backing track to create the lyric. And I think we came up with 4 or 5 different sort of lyrics, and then we nailed it down to one narrative that ran in line with the story that we originally came up, which came from the vision of the goal. Yeah, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think I'm following. No, I am. And then those 12 were the people who actually then went on to perform the song. And you talked when we were preparing for this about needing people to be in that right state to perform, and I think you just alluded to that when you said about them on the dictaphones. So what did you do to ensure that they were confident to do that?
Well, we used an anchoring technique, which was it's called a sort of circle of excellence, where you anchor people into the states that they would need in order to be in the right state to perform at their best. So you give them the options of what qualities that they want to bring to the table, and then you allow them to sort of think of reference experiences where they have experienced these states before, and you anchor them you anchor them in a kinesthetic way or a symbol or an auditory way, so that they can then reproduce these feelings, these emotions, and these experiences just before they are about to create the melody, or in fact when they were going to sing the final recorded version of the song, which is when you see, if you look at the video, they're all in the room singing it, and then some of them get to sing it in the vocal booth.
Mm-hmm. So we'll put a link to the video that shows the sort of making of this on the show page, and we've just got a little clip to play at the end as well, which starts with some soloists and then goes into the sort of chorus that with everyone else joining in as well, so people will be able to hear the results. So it must have been really daunting for them. They were going to be doing the singing. Okay, they wanted to do it. They auditioned for it, but this is, they knew, going to be played to all their colleagues and customers and so on. It must have been a great experience for them. So what were the results then? So that you finished the record, the single. What happened then? I mean, how did you launch it to the rest of the company?
Well, essentially, what they wanted to do, they have an annual conference where all of the management, and I think, I can't remember how many, I think a lot of, basically there will be a representative or two representatives from every single Strada outlet from the whole of the UK at this conference. And basically what the leadership team did then, I wasn't involved in this process because the song had been written, but they showed the video at the conference, and they got up and they talked about how important this whole thing is for customer service experience. This is what we want to drive through, and it was just reinforcing the message. And then they sort of said, we have a playlist, which this song is going to be on the playlist. We want to make people aware of this process if they're not already aware of it. As I say, it was played all over Christmas. And funnily enough, when I was going to get the testimonial from the operations director, we turned up at one of the outlets in Surrey, and he gave us a brilliant testimonial, and we put that on tape and everything. And then I just turned to the two waitresses, and I sort of said, "Do you know what this song was all about?" And they were like, "Well, what song?" And I sort of said, "The song that Strada wrote." And she went, "Oh, what, Chasing Dreams?" And I was like, "Yes, that's right." She said, "Well, it's all about making people happy." And we didn't, that was off the cuff. We didn't sort of set that up at all. And it just proved to me there and then that they did understand the importance of the goal. And it was all about just putting a bit of effort in to make their customers feel special. And that's essentially what it was all about. So, you know, it was just, it was a really nice icing on the cake. When that happened, it was great. It was fantastic.
Yeah, and great that it was the people who weren't involved, because I guess that's the worry with this sort of project, that when it's a section of the employed population, you know, you however much work you do, you worry that it isn't going to get out to the rest of the team. But as you said, it was a great example of you know, it getting to the people that you hadn't actually spent the time with. So can you sum up how this type of project can really help with employee engagement? I suppose one of the questions is, did the company come into this thinking it was about their employee engagement, or is it something that's been a result and not necessarily what they were thinking about at the beginning? I guess they were thinking about making people happy and their customer service improvement, but clearly there's been an employee engagement benefit for them.
No, definitely. I think I always knew that it was about employee engagement, but I'm not sure whether they did, but I think they obviously do now. I just had a thought then, which I can't remember what it was. It was a really important one. It has gone. That's what it was. The biggest thing here, and which I had to drive in the first two meetings I had with the leadership team, it was all about getting the idea out there, making people aware of what is going on. You're going to know someone that is going to a studio to write a hit record with, you know, very well established songwriters, and that is what I had to keep driving that home and just get the message. And that's how we got the engagement, is because we needed to create the interest. You know, this is a little bit different, but if people were knowing people that are going to work with, that are going to go down to London and spend a day in a studio, it was all about, that was one of my drivers, was just getting that leadership team to really engage, getting the message out there so that everybody knew about it. Because if you can create some interest about the song, they're all going to want to hear the song, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the most important things I had to really sort of drive through, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just think it's a really great case study of some of our probably all of the enablers, but, you know, focusing very much on it being about the strategic narrative, the work you were doing with the leaders, the managers to help with that engagement, and then, you know, big time on the employee voice part of it. And I guess we can probably throw integrity in there and create some link there as well. I mean, we talk about not having a sort of say-do gap and saying this is the culture of the organisation, but this is the sort of reality of it. And I guess these sorts of projects help to sort of tie everything together and get that integrity and consistency throughout the organisation at all levels.
I think also it's a creative
thoughts?
Process.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
We've got a couple of minutes.
Process.
I've got a minute of your song.
Yes.
So any sort of final thoughts, and then I'll just introduce next week's show as well.
Yeah, of course. I'm just going to say, I think it is a creative process that can be tailored in any direction, so it can be utilised in any direction as well, depending on what the company wants to achieve, really. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Jim, for joining us today. It's been really interesting to hear more about this. And as I said, I'll put the link to the video up so that people who are interested can see a bit more of the process and hear a bit more of the song. But thank you very much.
Thank you.
And then just to let you know, next week on the show, Joe Moffat, one of the other hosts, will be talking to Michael Silverman of Silverman Research about the results from the Future of Employee Research. try saying that at some stage, that Michael's company has been doing. We interviewed him back in the summer as they were kicking off the research, so the research into what do we think employee research will look like in the future, and he's joining us next week to share the results of that. So tune in for that. So I'm going to hand over to the clip that we have of the song that was created with the Strada Restaurant Company, and thank you again to Jim. So we'll speak to you next time.
Sometimes the last you let things go along the way. It hurts to let your feelings show. Look around step by step, I'll be there.